you don't want this privacy message to ultimately drive bounce rates or drive, you know, uninstalls. And so ensuring that it's a part of your experience and it fits and it's seamless and a user can opt in, opt out, what, you know, based on location you may be deploying, those are all things that you should consider.
How will Google's new consent management platform requirement impact mobile app and game publishers? Hello and welcome to Growth Mastermind. My name is John Kutzier. So maybe we all kind of thought that, you know, privacy in mobile marketing was all about ATT, scan, privacy sandbox. Wrong. As of January 16, Google requires marketers using AdMob, AdSense, or Ad Manager to implement the CMP, a consent management platform. What is this thing? What does it do? Where do you need it? How will it work? Chat and get all the answers. We have Ashraf Noor-Mesky and Gabe Barazan from SourcePoint. Gabe is a product director and Ashraf Noor is a client services leader. And SourcePoint, of course, offers a CMP. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you, John, for the invitation.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, super pumped to have you guys. Let's start here. And maybe, Gabe, let's start with you. What is a CMP? What does it do?
Yeah, a CMP is ultimately a way where you can configure and set up signals that your downstream partners, your advertising partners can look for to see, do we have the appropriate consent? Has the user opted out? And so CMPs basically help you to configure it. They provide templates. They'll often support some industry frameworks like the IAB-TCF, or in the United States, there's the IAB-GPP. And so it's a way to really ensure that if you're deploying apps, websites, OTT connected devices, those sort of things, you have some form of a message, some sort of a link, banner, that sort of thing, where a user can update and manage their privacy preferences. And then the signals that your downstream partners are going to look for to see whether they've appropriately been given consent or whether they haven't, or maybe it's been revoked. All of that is configured and set up from a CMP solution and then deployed within your existing environments.
In other words, I can run my app, I can run my game, I can implement this and I don't have to think about it.
That's right. Yeah. So the way the CMPs work is they typically are an SDK that you include in your app that allows you to, again, show that message, configure the appropriate signals. If it's a framework that you're following, making sure that, you know, the signals follow the spec that's been outlined by the industry, in particular the IAB, which is the Interactive Advertising Bureau. They kind of have set these frameworks around the regions that say, look, if you are an advertiser, remarketer, you know, any type of third party, this is what you should be looking for. This is how consent should be given. If you see this signal, do this. It's all been outlined and defined within the spec. And so CMPs can aid in ensuring that you have the appropriate signals, the messages, the buttons, the links, that sort of thing within your apps or within your websites, and that your downstream providers that are participating in these frameworks are receiving the signal so they know what to do and when.
Cool. Ash, do I just need one in the EU? Do I need one all around the world?
It's a very good question. The short answer is wherever the law framework exists to regulate the use of personal information, you need to have a CMP, regardless of which industry standards you're using. It could be TCF in Europe, could be non-TCF in Europe, could be, as Gabe mentioned, CCP in California, GPP across different states. Whenever there's a framework protecting the use of personal data, you will need a CMP.
You mentioned an acronym, TCF, and of course, we live in a soup of acronyms. Talk about TCF, GDPR, CMPs. What are they? How do they all fit together?
Yeah, definitely one of the least popular acronyms in the industry, right? So the TCF stands for the Transparency and Consent Framework. And it was created by the IAB Tech Lab and it's a technical answer to GDPR laws. It comes prepared with a list of purposes for explaining how the personal information will be used, examples and illustrations also, and as part of the TCF 2.2, which is the latest version of this framework, similar to the OpenRTB in the sense that it's one language that everyone speaks. So the CMP plays a pivotal role here where the CMP will generate the consent string and every participant in the framework can access the TC string and understand if they have consent or not.
Interesting. Very, very cool. Gabe, can you customize any messaging that gets shown to an end user? Can you customize the timing of them?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, we would recommend it, because ultimately what you want to do is you want to ensure that that message fits your brand guidelines, your style guidelines, right? If you're an app that has a very distinct visual profile, then we want your consent message, or in general, you want your consent message to also fit that as well, because it should feel like it's a part of the app. It shouldn't feel like it's something that, is an afterthought. And I think that what you've seen in the space over the last 10 and 15 years, where previously it was just like this really in your face brand privacy message, legal text jargon, you're seeing more and more companies start to recognize that this is ultimately part of what's called privacy UX, or the privacy experience, which is because the user has a lot more rights afforded to them, because they have a lot more capabilities that they should be able to utilize, as far as, if they're in Europe, they have certain rights that allotted to them. And even if it's in the US, you have certain states that have a lot of rights to them as well. But this ultimately should feel like part of your app. And so as you're thinking about deploying a CMP, as you're creating those messages, you should apply the same kind of UX and design principles that you do with any other component of your app. And that is to say, it should fit your style, it should fit your brand. And even things like A and B, A-B testing, which marketers and designers have used for decades now, right? To kind of ensure that the messaging language, that sort of terminology fits. You should also utilize those principles as well to just ensure that it's not impacting your app negatively. You don't want this privacy message to ultimately drive bounce rates or drive, uninstalls. And so ensuring that it's a part of your experience and it fits and it's seamless and a user can opt in, opt out, based on location you may be deploying. Those are all things that you should consider. And that's ultimately where that CMP provider can really aid you in that setup.
It's funny, because with ATT, there's been the phrase scare sheet, and that's the consent framework. I just saw, interestingly, actually, when you ask for ATT in iOS, the ask app not track is first. When ATT pops up in Apple Vision Pro on Vision OS, allow is first. There's a little flip there. Really interesting. But about those messages, I've heard of, like, in the EU, maybe some of the big German papers or something like that say it's a pay or consent, right? Hey, you can pay, you can subscribe, or you can consent. Is that appropriate messaging? Is that good messaging? Does that work? Is there better messaging? What do you guys recommend?
As long as it's your in the end. So it's all about third pricing, right? So first of all, you're as a publisher, you need to inform the user that the content that you're delivering comes at a price. So that's number one point. If you're a publisher in journalism, they need to understand that you have to be a journalist, slides, widgets, and so on and so forth. So that's, once you have that point, your message, then comes the alternative to sharing your personal information in the form of subscription, right? That's like the model that we're best in the countries where we serve the experience. And as long as the price is close to the LTV or the value of the user, that's fine. But in instances where, the user is worth $1 and the alternative is a subscription that is worth $50, then here, you're clearly in a dark pattern and you want to persuade your users to accept all.
Interesting. And of course, as Gabe mentioned, you can A-B test, and so you can try a different variety of messaging and see what works and what fits and when to ask and when not to ask, all that stuff. A question that comes to my mind is, how does this all roll up? I mean, we all have the experience on the web since GDPR. Thank you, Europe, of having to click on every website, accept, or customize, or whatever, every freaking time. Holy mother, it drives me absolutely bonkers. How does this all roll up? Are all my apps going to have to ask me? Do all the ad networks need to have permission? The partners that mediate ad purchases and delivery of those ads have to ask me? Is there a central place, Gabe, where can all get managed and everybody can see it and I don't have to get asked 50 million times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's ultimately the dream, right? And you see a lot of privacy advocates really pushing towards, look, it is what you hear being called consent fatigue, which is exactly what you're describing, which is, look, I'm hitting a website, I'm being asked, I hit the app for that same company, I'm being asked, I turn on my TV, I'm being asked, right? How do you simplify and streamline the process? And there's really a few different ways that that gets accomplished. One, you're seeing a push in the industry for standardized signaling. This is what, there's a signal call of the Global Privacy Control or GPC. And what that intends to do is to say, look, if the browser, if the user's browser has this signal on, then you should automatically treat them as opted out, right? And so you see some browsers like Brave, Firefox, and others that already either have this set by default or that you as a user can configure. And the intention of that is to recognize that, look, as a user, you're effectively saying, I just want to opt out. You shouldn't even ask me. Now, there is some nuance there. There are instances when you can prompt a user to say, hey, we noticed this, but, you know, to access this, you may, you know, want to actually opt in, that sort of thing. But ultimately, you're seeing a push towards leveraging signaling that a user can turn on their device or their browser to say, just treat me as opted out. And then in addition, this goes back to the privacy UX example that I gave earlier, where brands are starting to look at consistently across all of our apps or websites. How do we streamline this experience so that if you as a user say yes or no, then next time you log in, we're not going to ask you again because we know that you've already reported that consent. You know, we call this authenticated consent. You see this with a lot of CMP platforms out there where they're tying a consent record to the known user. And so if I log into your website and then I go to my connected TV to look at your content, they already know, well, hey, Gabe has registered, their preference before. We're not going to ask them again. And so you can address the consent fatigue by just ensuring that your consent cross-device or omni-channel, as we call it, is consistent and it's linked to a known user account. Obviously, that becomes a challenge of like, well, what about users that you don't know, right? People that first hit your website, they don't need to log in. Then there are some ways that you can try to get, you know, you can try to support that. But ultimately, you're seeing a push towards authenticated consent, making sure that, hey, your user experience is important enough that we're not going to prompt you 12 times if we know who you are. And you've already previously recorded preference. And then additionally, from the industry, you're seeing push for standardized signaling like the Global Privacy Control, which just says, hey, in California, for instance, they treat that as a valid opt-out. Same for Colorado. The regulators, in that case, the attorney generals have said, look, if you see the GPC turned on, if the user has GPC, you have to treat them as opted out. And so it's a very clear indication from regulators that this is yet another way that we can handle consent fatigues you've mentioned, John.
It's really interesting that this GPC, Global Privacy Opt-Out, or what was the term again?
Global Privacy Control.
Global Privacy Control, thank you. It's very interesting that all you've mentioned about that, so I assume that's all that's available, is this auto opt-out. You know, what about other settings like essential cookies only or essential trackers only or something like that? Is there any nuance in that? And I kind of understand if it's, you know, maybe being pushed by Brave or Firefox and they have a real sort of position on how they want to deal with privacy and tracking and measurements and all that stuff. But you would think there'd be a little bit more nuance in that control.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think ultimately where this comes down to is you see a lot of the back and forth as it relates to targeted advertising in particular, because as you work with developers, as you work with the technology space, you understand that like removing cookies entirely isn't feasible, right? There are security cookies, there's authentication cookies. Like you need cookies to exist to some extent so that one, we know who you are. We know your language preferences. Again, imagine you visit a site in France and they don't know if you speak French or English. And, you know, what do they serve? So cookies have a purpose that they serve. Where they ultimately start to get into this contentious space is as it relates to targeted advertising. And so what GPC or Global Privacy Control ultimately looks to do is this is a signal that says this user has effectively said we are opted out or we, you know, don't want to have targeted advertising cookies placed. So it doesn't mean you can't place essential cookies or cookies that may be functional, things like load balancing, things like, you know, location for CDN, right? Like we need to know where the user is so we can serve content, you know, from the local CDN. Like those cookies have their place and they're really not going anywhere. What ultimately these signals pertain to is the use of targeted advertising. And as Ash had mentioned earlier, like all of the frameworks that exist from the IAB as it relates to TCF, GPP in the US, like all of the alphabet soup that exists out there, they all largely are trying to solve that challenge, which is how does a user manage their preference as it relates to advertising cookies and the data that is collected on the site that is then shared with downstream partners. And so it's really that. And Ash, do you have anything to add to that?
Just circle back to what I was saying before, Dave. Just say that privacy as a whole is not as simple as a lot of publishers are thinking. And what's interesting here is that we're trying to find a technical answer to a problem that is legal's nature, right? And these two were never meant to connect. So obviously there will be a lot of changes in the industry. Also, like the legal frameworks will change and the technical solutions will need to follow. So DPC for me, like, is a good start. Like, that's a good starting point to reduce the user fatigue. And it's something that we've been championing here at SourcePoint, be it through authenticated consent, as Gabe mentioned, or the privacy gate. And surprisingly, what we have found is that publishers have implemented these methods, higher opt-in rates than those who. So at the end of the day, it's a win-win situation. And again, as long as you're transparent in your messaging, you tell the user the scope of the consent. If it's like a group, you know, like by consenting here, you consent to this list of properties, other properties. As long as that is mentioned and done correctly, it's a win-win situation. You're fully compliant. Your opt-in rates are very high. So yeah, what's not to like about it?
And just to be clear, if somebody has GPC and they've turned it on, you're still allowed to flash them a message and saying, hey, this is a valuable game or this is a valuable content source, and you can either pay or consent. You can still send them that, correct? Cool.
Go ahead.
So a lot of this is also still being flushed out in the courts, right? And we're seeing, you know, some of the early decisions and court precedents is being set, particularly in California and Colorado and others. And so much of this will evolve. So even by the time we publish this, you know, that case may be different. But, you know, at the end of the day, what it ultimately allows you to do is to say, first of all, by default, if you see the signal, you have to treat them as opted out, right? So it's there. You might be able to prompt them to say, hey, in order to access this information, or, you know, you may look at more of a, you know, as you said, like to access this information, you know, we need this sort of data. But what the signal intends to do is to set that precedence of, look, the user has registered, you know, their choice, which is to say, treat them as opt out. And, you know, from there are certain caveats that vary based on the regulation. And again, that is one of the challenging things of GPC is, you know, you have different regulations, you have different states and different interpretations, but this is ultimately going back to the question that you asked us earlier, of like, what is a CMP? They're supposed to help guide you through this process, because the truth is every state and every region, every area of the world has some interpretation and some nuance that it's unfeasible to know it all, but this is ultimately where a CMP partner comes in for you.
And maybe one of these days we'll even have a national privacy law or regulation in the US. Who knows? Anything is possible. I want to thank you guys for taking this time and sharing your knowledge on this topic.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for having us.